Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Charlie XCX did Lip Sync Battle.
Okay.
That's still going, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. So is Chrissy Teigen still on it?
Yeah, wait until you hear the lineup, right?
Right.
So it was Boy George.
In real life?
As like the DJ. Anyway, not the point. Okay. So Charlie XCX did Lip Sync Battle.
Okay.
She did C'est La Vie.
Bewitched. Okay.
Right, so she was doing it. Love Charlie. Pathetic attempt. Love it. Like, not even a hane, nor a doe, nor a tree.
Okay.
Not even a little bit of a squiggle.
It's like me dad, well. No?
Kind of, yeah, no, that, but, like, no attempt at the dance breakdown of the jiggle.
That's the point of C'est La Vie.
That's the point. Yeah. But also, is that song not about shagging?
Yeah, I think it's about looking at boys and girls' bits, yeah.
I thought it was about shagging, like, full on.
Yeah. Show me mine, I'll show you yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was another line. It's gone out of my brain now.
Playing with the girls, playing with the boys. Do you ever get lonely playing with your toys?
What was the other
Don't
one?
Be shy. Straighten up your toes. No. Get down on your knees. Never just in the sky.
Never just.
I want to know. Just what to do.
Is it really big? Is it really fun? That's the one. That was the one. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And, right. Boy George, DJ and Wiki Wiki. That's grand. LL Cool J and Rita Ora.
Ah!
Good. Bitch.
She'll be on stamps next.
She will. They'll get rid of the monarchy and just put her on the stamps.
That's honestly where we're going.
Spawn con.
She'll figure out a way. It'll be
the Rita mail. Rita Ora mail. Rita Ora mail. Do you get what I'm saying? Instead of Royal mail, Rita Ora mail. No?
No.
Flat. That's yeah. Bottom. Yeah. Okay.
Bad.
Welcome.
Hello there.
Don't know what that was.
Hello there, and hope you're all doing very well. C'est la vie.
This week's obituaries. Shall we get into it?
This is Jennifer from RIP.ie. How are you getting on by?
Hello, and you're welcome to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Carla.
Yeah. What's the crack with you?
I don't know.
Not much.
We're just fucking around.
Yeah, just fucking around.
We're just fucking around over there. Not a lot. Hope everyone's well. Hope the last episode went down a little treat.
Oh, yeah.
Hope it did.
Well, yeah, what's well, fun.
Can't even remember what it was on.
Neither can you. You're after putting me on the spot here.
Yeah, like, honestly,
what,
I was like, hold on.
I was looking at petty spells.
The petty spells. A couple of people got back in touch with us.
Oh, yeah?
With a couple of more.
Nice.
Well done, news. We love that. We'll continue to share all the bits on the Unpopular Opinion stories.
Instagram page. Yeah. It's in the show notes, as per usual, as is our Patreon. Because that was a little bit of snippet at the end of the little teaser.
But before we get into our topic, let's chat a little bit about the news this week.
Well, hang on, I have a sound effect for now.
It's a weekly news. Bam!
Wiki, get into it, come on.
Taylor Swift dropped another album.
Oh, for fuck's sake, this fucking...
It has to be said. We won't be spending any time about this.
No, I know. We've talked about the fact that we're not Swifties. I will say I was a little bit on board when I heard about the shade and, you know, the Kim Kardashian kind of bit of shade.
Oh,
tell us your opinion, Zerna.
So old.
Yeah.
It's so old. And again, we cannot pretend that we were like cancelled or we went into hide. One of my friends was like, I had no idea she had such a hard time about that. I was like, I'm not denying the fact she had a difficult time when all that went down, but I'm also like, it hasn't really affected her career. You know, that kind of way. I'm like, it's not really affected her career. Anyway, don't want to talk about that. I do want to talk about there's so many theories, so much stuff happened. So she dropped the tortured poets department. I think that's what it's called.
That's a bit deep.
There's loads of good podcasts out there that have covered it. Flop Culture has covered it. I know No Encore has covered it. But I do think it's... they're both Irish podcasts, by the way. Shout out to both of them. But I do think it's... I think it's crazy. Did you see the write-up? I think it was the New York Times or one of the larger newspapers had to leave their editor's name out of it because it wasn't an absolutely glowing review.
No, I haven't looked up... Because
Swifties came so hard... Really? For them, the last time they did a not so glowing review.
Okay.
There was a certain level of craziness that came at them. And we'll be talking a little bit about that one. Talk about our topic this week.
Yeah.
But so this time they had to say, we've redacted the name of the journalist who's done this for protection.
Oh my God.
Like, how have we got there? But again, not Taylor Swift's fault. Taylor Swift's fans' fault.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting. There's lots of theories that are coming up now. One of them is Taylor is apparently like, this is where it's like people can make a mountain out of a fucking molehill. There is a lot of people saying that Taylor Swift is a big BookTok fan and that she's talking about a very famous character in a Sarah J Maas book in one of her songs.
Right.
And are now doing fan art around that to like make that fit that narrative.
Do you know what? Because everything about this album, was it a double album? Was
yeah,
it two?
So she dropped one at 12 a.m.
And one at 2
and then
something.
One at 2 or 3 a.m. Yeah,
because anything I've learned about this has been against my will. Yeah, so yeah. Like I haven't gone out there.
I haven't listened to one song. I've seen lyrics and people being like, you're for real. You're for real. This is, you are, okay, really quickly, this is what you're saying is.
Yeah, they're just translating it and it's like. It's mad how deep to get into it.
No, and that's fair, but I think what's been really hilarious is the stills of like, there's one where she's talking about you play Fortnite with your bros and blah, blah, blah. And people were like, okay, songwriter of a generation, just 2 seconds.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but again, I am ignorant and I do realise that I'm setting the scene on me, haven't I?
Well, see, I don't, it's just... It's the same with another example I could give of this is remember like everybody was going and we even were looking forward to the Barbie movie, but after it came out and then the Oscars came up and it wasn't given as much notoriety as say other films that were coming out at the time, and we were kind of going, it's not that, it's so mid. That's what we're kind of saying with, to us, Taylor Swift is so mid, but then I don't think we're exactly her demographic.
No, we're not her demographic, but I do think that it's more interesting as a look at like culture.
Yeah.
And but I also think that if she did write that song in particular to kind of maybe suit the Throne of Glass narrative, the Sarah J Maas kind of like, because Sarah J Maas, the author of this series, is a huge Swiftie. And I think she's put dedications before being like to Taylor Swift. So I think that's cute, right? Yeah. That's cute because like if there was like a pay it back. But I also think that Sarah J Maas right now is one of the most popular authors in the world.
Yeah, okay.
So again, I'm like the marketing brain in Taylor Swift works as hard as Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I commend that too. I'm like, you are clever.
Yeah.
You know? Like, nobody can spend money like that woman.
No, that's fair enough. But it's when the Swifties think it's like, it's genius. It's kind of like, no, it's not.
Like, it's a good time and it's great music and she is very talented. Like, there's no one taking that away from her. She's an incredibly talented woman.
She's a great performer as well. Like, I've seen clips of her performing. Like, she looks like she puts on a fucking good show.
For sure. Not taking any of that away. Yeah. But I do, like, there is nothing more difficult than the internet when, like, something like this goes on. Because you're, like, dodging mad stuff from all angles.
So this morning, I'm obviously on maternity leave and I do have, like... Ireland AM on in the morning, you know, just like very in close. The background, very good, you know, to be keeping up, you know, to be watching Claire on the Ireland AM.
Ah, good,
you know,
woman, Claire.
Gina doing her little cookery, you know. But the like after it is that this morning and the lead up, the week to the lead up of this release, was it released on a Friday? It was like there was a correspondent in New York. And he went on to him every single morning and he was filling them in on all the goss and the week and the lead up to it and all. Mm. I was just like, what? And then this morning had these three girls on. They were like looking for Taylor Swift lookalikes. And then these three girls who looked nothing like her were on this couch then on the Friday. And I was like, this is just mad.
they crazy right now.
Just stop. Wow. Like, this is not your demographic. Like,
yo, you know, what's happening here?
This morning's demographic is not. They're not Swifties, like.
Yeah, but they probably have a lot of people who have children that are big Swifties or like no one's not aware. Like, I'm pretty sure my dad's aware of Taylor Swift at this point.
And it will be. Yeah.
She's not like hard to touch in that kind of way. I would love at some point to like sit down with someone who's really into her.
I'd love to get her maybe on we'll the
do.
Pod.
I do. Jesus, it'd be brilliant if we could pop Taylor onto the podcast. What do you think, guys? Do you think we could get her?
She's so original. She's such a genius. Like, she'd be stupid not to. You know?
Yeah.
Actually, to counteract, so, no, I tell you, they just had to come into my mind. Did you ever see your man on TikTok? His name is Alex Mack.
No.
And so.
Immediately, no.
Okay, so he's a rapper, right?
Yeah.
A white rapper. Mm-hmm. And he does Chat Roulette or Omegle, one of these things. And he like.
Is that still knocking around?
Still seems to be still knocking. Unless if this is old footage that he has up on TikTok. But he seems to do it often enough, or they seem to be recent enough. Now, he's obviously gotten really fucking popular, and I think he actually has songs out now. Like, but he got his kind of come up off TikTok. From what I can see, it could mm-hmm. be a different story. Mm-hmm. But he basically, he went on Chat Roulette and Omegle, and like you're talking about a lyrical kind of genius on the spot, like a person who thinks, you know, like as quick as people say Taylor Swift was. He went on Omegle and he'd like, say there was like a group of five people, he'd be like, give me a random word. He'd like, and then they'd all give him a random word and he'd be just like, he'll start a beat and he'd be like, check it. And he will do a full song and include every single one of them words in it. In proper context, in proper, oh, it's fucking genius. He'll make it all tie in together. It's unbelievable to watch. It really, it's unbelievable. I'll actually link him down in the description because it's a sight to be seen. Because he actually came back on me. Because for some reason, when I follow people, they just go fucking missing. Then I never see them again. So it was actually, he was on a podcast and it was the podcast came up on me for you page. And I was like, your man, the interviewer was asking him something and he was just like, telling him this story. And then as I was looking at him retaining this information, I was like, oh, that's your man. That's your man who does the raps. So he went through this whole fucking, this is what happened. Like, you go to a museum, there's three girls, but you talk to the girl that you don't really want to talk, you know, all this sort of stuff. Gives him loads of details. Mm-hmm. Within a minute, he has a full song.
Wow.
All contextual, like unbelievable. It's so good. That is a musical genius. That is somebody who...
That's what you're saying.
That's... Show me Taylor Swift doing that and then I'll be a Swiftie. That's what I want to see her doing. This episode, though.
Yeah.
It's not about Alex Mack or Taylor Swift.
No, this is about influencers and our expectations of them in the year of our Lord, 2024.
Jesus' year
himself. Kanye West has a new album coming out. That's Jesus.
Oh, God. I seen a video during the week and I just thought it was quite interesting. It was basically this girl talking about the dystopian feeling that she gets from scrolling through social media. And in 1 minute seeing Nara Smith, who we've talked about on here before, she's a trad wife. She does a lot of unnecessary things and it's just boredom and luxury, basically. That's her whole fucking thing. And then the next video, she could scroll into somebody showing their child starving to death in the hopes that somebody might help. Obviously, there's a lot going on in Gaza and there needs to be awareness on social media. Look at the impact that it's had. But she was just kind of, it was, what would she compare it to? Snowpiercer?
Snowpiercer, like, which is like, I don't know if it is a book or if it, yeah, I think it's a book. And it's essentially where I think like a train crashes and on one side of the train, there's like this insane level of luxury and those people are going crazy from being so bored. And on the other side of the train is like the poor side of the train and they are killing each other, committing cannibalism because they are so desperate and so poor and don't know what else to do. So it's like that kind of theory where she was like, it almost reminds me of that because she's saying that she's finding it really hard to not project her
frustrations
onto influencers when she doesn't know where they stand. Mm-hmm. So I think her theory was that she wants to continue to ingest like sugary content or content that people are known for. But she also thinks that people can do both. There is, and I think it's this kind of, there is, there's not a theory, but there is like a real thought out there saying, of course, nobody has to mm-hmm. create content regarding the genocide. Nobody has to speak up about it. No, there is no standardized, like, there's morality, of course, but there is no, like, you absolutely have to.
There's no standard operating procedure.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you want to?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that is, like, where she was kind of coming from. She said she was finding it tough to watch people when she didn't know where they stood. And she was like, and that's kind of where she was at with, like, say, Nara Smith. She was like, I don't actually know where that woman stands in any way politically. So I find it I'm kind of finding it disingenuous continuing to follow her because I don't have that ability, I suppose, to understand, like, her ethics and her views. And I think what she was saying is that there used to be not so much a level of protection, but I don't think that there was such an expectation for people with platforms, content creators, influencers, celebrities, etc. Because I would call Nara Smith more of a celebrity than I would, I suppose, an influencer. She is a model by trade. She also brought up Bretman Rock, who got a private chef at Coachella. I don't actually know much about that situation, so I can't really comment. Yeah. But she was saying that she's finding it nowadays, it's not just like, I'll watch the content. It's like, because of how much we've ingested, because of how aware we are now of what's going on in the world, she finds it super difficult to be able to just take the content for what it is without actually understanding what that person is, in the hopes that she's continuing to support the right group of people that align with her views.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. So
I do get it. I did find it really interesting, but I also found her level of self-awareness on the fact that she's taken the frustration out on mm-hmm. influencers. Yeah. I admired that because I was like, oh, we've been targeted before. Absolutely. For people's frustrations. Like for instance, for the podcast, I remember we did an episode on Irish funerals, like making it lighthearted, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was a funny episode. We had feedback saying it was really funny. But unfortunately, so we would have recorded that between the second and the 9th. It was published on the 9th mm-hmm. of January. Unfortunately, Aisling Murphy was murdered 2 days later, three mm-hmm. days later.
The 12th.
And later in the week, we were targeted. Well, like, there was a few DMs around saying, do you not think this is in bad taste because of what's happening this week? Now, I kind of got it because it was like, it was at the forefront of everybody's minds. But at the same time, it was like, these two are not, they don't conflate. This is absolutely not, like, that episode has been out for 3 days before that happened, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just, it's kind of like, that's where people's frustrations were taken out on us. And it was absolutely nothing got to do with the other.
Yeah,
do you know? So it can be. That's why I admired her self awareness, because it was like, most people won't be self aware. They'll just take it out.
Yeah, you can project anger on anybody. You can shove any two situations together and make anyone look bad. Particularly when you've had this level of public content, I'm sure you could chop up a ton of episodes and
we could be rinsed.
Yeah, like, and like make hypocrites out of the world. Yeah, do you know? Yeah. But I think it's a very interesting point, because as you said, it's like, it is hard sometimes when you're sitting here. And again, it is everyone's job to stay educated and interested in world events mm-hmm. and particularly monumental events that will change and shape
the course of history. Yeah.
The course of history.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's job to do that. And I do understand what she's saying, because it's like, it's so hard sometimes to just come on. And we had this conversation last week on our Patreon episode where I was saying I had a really heavy misogynistic week mm. where I had just seen so much aggressive content aimed and targeted and directed toward the hate of women
mm-hmm.
and the concept of a woman as a whole. And we talked about that kind of in depth. And then this just so happened to come up a week later. So I understand when you're taking in so much, it can be really hard. But I do like the way she was like, I like when I know I can still ingest sugary content.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to know a little bit about where they stand. I'm not saying that every second post has to be like Gaza. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to know that there is a level of like integrity in the people that I continue to watch, which I do think is like a pretty important note.
No, that's fair enough. I will point something out though, from when I was... Do you remember, would have been Girls Who Snap or something like that. It would have been a Facebook group from years ago. I do remember seeing complaints though. This is what I'm just trying to make the point. All this to say, you can't win. because I remember there being complaints about, it was something years ago, it was something serious was that to happen, and like, say it was Darren Gary posted about the serious thing, and then in the next one posted her coffee or something. Now, the stories could have been 12 hours apart, could have been the next day.
Yeah.
I don't know the context, I'm not going to say I knew exactly what the details were of it, but there was then complaints about that.
And this is where this is the reason for this episode, and we did put a question box out. I asked a few influencers for their opinion, I asked the community on my own page and then on the podcast page as well. Where are our expectations? Number one, of an influencer toward their audience, and number two, of people who ingest an influencer or content creator, whatever. I'm just going to say influencer. I know everybody hates the word, but we're just going to use that word.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are the expectations? Because I feel like the expectations in 2024 are so vastly different to, say, when me and you started building a following 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we are so far down the line, so far down the kicker. And what I thought was, and this is what I was saying to you when we started doing this episode, there was a few people that I kind of went back and forth with over voice notes. And it was really, it was great to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. You could put this up on your personal page as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so it was great going to and fro with a few people kind of going, well, I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. And having that like level of debate. And that's what this episode is pretty much all about. So I think the best way to maneuver this, shall we say, is to go through a couple of the pieces and just give our thoughts and our opinions.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So that was the question that I did pose, and I want to preface this, and this will come up time and time again. This is why I didn't want to, like, my think piece, I didn't want to shove in at the start, because it'll be like me reiterating consistently. But I do think, and this is with celebrities, with everything, that there is a real pressure for some people to be everything to everyone
at
all times, and you just can't fill that void. And it's also not up to, it's up to the audience to be able to understand that and to shape that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not up to that creator.
There's an element of what about me and ism, isn't there?
Yeah.
As well.
Absolutely.
It's still happening. And like,
that won't go away. I don't think that will ever go away. I think until you've lived both sides, until you've kind of flipped both coins, I think that's the only real way that you can kind of like ride both waves. But I do understand like the heavy critique that people with platforms are under, because that's like, you are effectively a marketing vehicle in a late stage capitalistic world. So there's a bit of that going on too. This one I think opens it off nicely. I was just having this conversation. If influencers or celebrities haven't made statements for Palestine or at least anti-genocide, it's starting to feel icky to love them, especially giants like Beyonce. I also think there's a huge impact on how we judge each other as consumers. As if to ask, how can you go so hard for someone who has a platform and is silent? I feel like it exacerbated how that all started in summer of 2020 with being a conscious consumer. But now it's evolved as to who we follow and we repost. Like, if somebody I know that follows Chelsea Handler, I'm still like, oh.
I'd be the same. Like, it is gone. I do now, where I didn't before, I do now see if somebody's following somebody problematic, I'm like, I cast a judgment now, whereas I wouldn't have before.
Yeah, I think there's like, sometimes you can follow people and be like, oh, I actually didn't
Yeah.
Didn't realize I was still following her. Like nowadays it can be.
Yeah, yeah.
It can take a bit of time mm-hmm. for someone to pop up on your page. That's but then true, I also yeah. am like, if you're like interacting with their content and like liking their content a bit, like Michael Rapaport, I've never unfollowed a man so quickly before in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
What a loser. So, and that was really frustrating to me because for someone like Michael Rapaport to be so interested in like Bravo and things like that, I thought it was mm-hmm. so gas. And then I was like, oh dear.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. It was the same way. Who did I do? Amy Schumer was a big one. She was Gonski.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other person that I just based off their morals, but I can't think at the minute.
Yeah, I think there's a massive difference between moral choices and understanding that people online are flawed humans mm-hmm. and can continue to change their opinions
yeah.
and can continue to grow as humans.
Yeah, like there is.
Like the person I was 6 years on the internet is not the person I am now.
Absolutely.
And it would be, I think as audiences, as you grow up and as everybody grows up, your audience can change and your thought process can change. But I do think there's a big part to say, you know, Becky Jones, she is a influencer, TikToker who primarily does food content
okay.
and like puts up food content all the time. Right. And she, I've never, like she is horrifically bullied consistently in her comments. Like I was on one of her videos before. And I think it might have been posted for like 2 minutes, you know, like when you get in quickly, like, oh, just popped up. Oh, Jesus, that was whatever. And the comments were a cesspit of hate because she identifies as a fat person and because she was talking about food. And people just think, let's fucking go. Like okay, they just think it's like an open door.
Yeah.
Whereas I've often watched people say, for instance, like Anna Paul, do a level of like almost mukbang eating and it's like Anna mm-hmm. slay the fucking day away my honey cunt
yes,
queen.
Yes, I know.
Wow. How do you keep that body?
Yeah.
So you're never going to be able to educate that person.
No.
Like, you're just not. If you're as intense and vindictive to go out there and be that person. But I thought what was interesting is me and my friend were talking about this and she had saw I think it was Sarah Lopez who is another online, I wouldn't say she's a creator, she's just a person online who has like a bit of a following. And she was like, when she sees Becky Jones's videos and she sees the comments, she was like, I always remember people are not inherently good. They're actually inherently evil.
Yeah.
Because there is no, like Becky's not out there being like, not that it would be your fucking business anyway, mm-hmm. but Becky's not being like, I'm trying to lose weight here today and I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z and here I am eating my McDonald's. So mm-hmm. therefore you think you can swoop in being like, McDonald's might not be the best thing for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, where is that level? Like keep that same energy for a slim blonde bird mm-hmm. who's eating the same amount of food or someone like Anna Paul who has often done intense levels of mukbangs. Mm-hmm. And in the comments, it's like, she's not really eating all that. She couldn't be eating all that. She probably is.
Yeah.
You're just been taught there's a lot of unlearning for you to do there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I think that brings up another, because I always want, everybody wants to believe that people are inherently good.
Yeah, I know.
But people on the internet, it is really hard sometimes when you're on, like, I don't know personally, I couldn't handle that level of.
I think I heard it somewhere. It might have been the Ghost of Podcast. Somebody was saying that it was that people are gone so. They're like tunnel vision with this whole be kind movement that face to face people are being more kind. Like there's less.
Yes, I saw this. Yes.
Yeah, that there's less kind of people being confrontational in real life and there's less kind of altercations in public. So that they're all their frustration is coming out online.
Yes. And it's like there's, I saw someone being like, there is, now you have to kind of quote unquote be kind, but they're absolute arseholes in person.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they've taken that frustration where they like can't be the way that they almost want to be. So it's, it's like the scales where it's like, would you rather somebody present the way that they are? And I think it comes back again to like anonymous accounts.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'd love for you to present the person that you are off the account that you have, off the, you know, name,
like,
date of birth,
I just feel like
location.
If you don't have the balls to do it under your own name, why do it at all?
Yeah.
Like,
if you were flipping to your burner account.
If you have to go to a burner account, you need therapy. Yeah. You need to look at the man in the mirror. Like, there's work that has to be done there.
Yeah.
Look at yourself. Like, you're unhappy. Yeah. You're really fucking unhappy.
Yeah.
Whether you like to admit it or not, like, you'll always see these people, you know, like, when they're on the thing. Like, I'm not jealous. I can guarantee you now, I'm fairly fucking happy in my life. There's absolutely, I wouldn't be jealous of her. There's something going on, though. Yeah. There is something going on. Because if you were that unbothered, you would simply scroll on. You wouldn't, like, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be getting involved. If you have found the time to start arguing online. And I've had to stop myself a few times. I'm like, no, Jen, you're spiraling. Stop that.
I think,
you know what I mean? And that's just to stand up for people.
Yeah.
Do you know? But I would never be going on to give somebody fucking abuse online. Like, it's warped mentality.
Yeah. I think if you're flipping to a burner account, you've admitted fault.
Yeah.
I think that's like the minute that you hit that,
mm-hmm.
like, faceless, nameless.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing good could come of that.
Yeah. It's the same with compulsive liars, because I actually, when I was watching that Who the Fuck Did I Marry, she actually made a very good point. She was like, there's two types of liars. There's compulsive liars and there's pathological liars. Mm. Compulsive liars do it for no reason other than to make themselves look good.
Yeah.
It doesn't change the outcome. They generally always get found out that they're lying, but it makes them look better at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if you're not happy with how, if you have to lie to make yourself look better, why not just be the person and do the action
that
you're in the first place? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
I don't understand why people do go out of their way to look like a different person. No. Just be that person.
I understand why people do it, because again, it's like that projection, that rage, that all that other stuff. I do understand that part. I don't understand the defense of that.
Mm.
I don't think there's a world, and we've seen it again with Coco's Law. We've seen it with how much children, which seem to be sometimes when you're talking to the kind of this level of educated people, shall mm-hmm. we just say, is the only thing that kind of gets into their brain. It's like, okay, I have to go. I don't know why I have to go there to be like, think of the children for you to like develop a conscience.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes I do have to just be like, think of the children. But like, there nothing good comes from an anonymous account.
No.
You know, it's like an anonymous tip off to the police is very different to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Bullying people online.
Mm-hmm. Like, your opinion doesn't need to be heard.
No. Unfortunately.
I think that these people think, well, like, I just don't want to get blocked, but like, she needs to hear this.
Yeah, it's outlet. And I do like, think, and that was super interesting, because I'd had this this conversation with one of our listeners who had said that, I will actually just whip out the message now. She said, I feel like this is an interesting topic because there's been a shift in the last few years. I don't know if that's because, like, I myself and the people I'm following are growing up and things in life have changed, but it's just different how it was. When influencers were relatively new in Ireland and fewer in between, I feel people listened to them a lot more and opinions were genuine. I feel nowadays, personally, I'm so much more skeptical, and a lot of people are, I don't want to say desperate to stay relevant, but sort of that, I guess. Like, they're clinging to any brand deal, jumping between skincare and a new fucking kitchen hob every second week because they get it for free with a discount code. Also, I think fair dues to the ASAI. I think that might be what it's called, for making people declare things a lot more. But we're not stupid, and there's still lots of people that don't. Where I used to go out and buy things people suggested, I'm very distrustful now. I'd only take certain people at face value. And like, if I was considering buying something, I'd be thinking on it way more and only listen to certain people. I don't know if that's me being more careful with my money or just not buying any old shite though, or if I'm just more wary. Short answer is, every second person is a wannabe influencer, whether it be TikTok or Instagram or whatever, and I trust nobody anymore. The bar is on the floor. And what I'm going to say next is likely very unpopular, and please don't hate me.
Okay.
I know it's a cesspit, and I don't mean yourself or Jen or people who work hard in day-to-day jobs, but people who hinge their whole income on flogging whatever Hoover hairdryer is this week and would literally sell their granny for a few followers and a brand deal, and then trying to hide it from the revenue and having the best of both worlds. I don't get mad sometimes at the scrutiny of what these people are at, because frankly, it does need to be done in some cases.
Okay.
She says, I say that as somebody who has never written anonymously on any kind of forum or nasty place, but I have had these conversations with some of my friends who have.
Oh, okay.
And some of the things that she brought to my attention over certain influencers, I don't disagree with. So I'm not going to play the voice notes because there was plenty of them back and forth. But my response to that was, okay, why is it the public's job to be judge and juror of that? And I do understand sometimes the frustration and the misconception of an online person's role.
Mm-hmm.
But at no point in time is, as I've just said previously, anonymous profiles or anonymous forums ever going to be a positive place. And she kind of almost, and I said, you've almost answered your own question. You and your friend spoke about it and spoke about your thought process. Is there now a step for you to go and make those things public and uncontrollable almost?
Mm-hmm.
And perpetuating narratives? I don't think that anyone's above critique, but I do think we have to be careful as to what kind of positioning we give that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it comes into, I don't think it's, I think you're, anyone's allowed to say whatever the fuck they want. Anyone's allowed kind of, I suppose, come up with their own narrative. It's when you project that and try and perpetuate that is when that becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
No one needs to hear your opinion that badly.
No, they really don't. And like, there's always going to be those people who are like, oh, fucking influencer, that's not a real job, you know. And like, we are still within the first decade of this being a thing. I've said it before, whether you like to hear it or not, there's mortgages being given to influencers.
Oh, it's a real job.
It's a real job.
I know that's really hard for a lot of people to understand. It is a real job, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not even a job I do full time, nor does Jen.
No.
So it's
we
kind
have
of
day
like,
jobs, I guess.
Yeah. But, and that's something else that I had said too, because I think in her defense, she was saying, yeah, but you and Jen have real jobs. But I'm like, but even if I didn't.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm like, it's kind of redundant. It doesn't like, I know.
But do you know what? It is kind of sad that we get more.
We get pedestal put on a little bit sometimes. And I thought it was interesting because obviously I'm asking my audience, so people that follow me. But not every single person that follows me enjoys me or like enjoys my content.
Yeah.
But I did think it was interesting because I was like, at what point do we. Like, it's nice to have these conversations because one of the things that she said back, she was like, I 100% agree. Those things are horrendous. I don't agree with anonymous forums at all, but I do think that people should be held accountable. But yeah, when you put it like that, I think you're right. So it was interesting, like kind of going back and forth. And then she just said, I wish regulation was better. And I said, yeah, I think that I wish regulation was better across the board for so many different things. I wish regulation...
In loads of industries.
I wish regulation was clear cut and the way... But I feel like, again, it's like, I wish the fucking children's hospital was built.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish this and the other. And also, sorry, this listener is a great like I've spoken to them back and forth quite a bit. Great person, real good fun. And I really appreciate, I'm not saying that my opinion is right here. I just thought it was interesting how when we were going back and forth, she was like, wow, I never actually thought of it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the whole beauty of this conversation that we're having.
Well, I do still think that there's quite an ignorance to people who create content online, you know, like there is that kind of pushback when somebody is, I suppose, referred to as an influencer.
But whose job is it to educate them? Because that was another thing that I had said. I said, like, whose job? It's not my job to educate every single person that follows me on all of the gaps that they could be creating in the content that I'm putting out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does become really dodgy. But then at the same time, I do have a responsibility to ensure that everything that I'm saying, I can back up and defend.
Well, I think it's just about being yourself. And like that, at the crux of it, if everybody was just it like organically themselves and not fake whatsoever, it'd be a perfect world. But it's just, you know, I think that's what the kind of call out is for. But you're never going to, as you said at the beginning of this, you can't be everything to everyone
at all times.
At all times, no.
And sorry, there's another comment here that she did say. She goes, it is a cesspit. I'm wrong to say what I said in the way that I did, but I do just wish the world was better, I guess, as lame as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really genuine, like, I do think we all wish that the world was...
As cliche as it sounds, we all want world peace. Like, it'd be fucking great.
I wish everything was a bit clearer. Yeah. That's what I mean. I'm like, I wish, you know, I wish there wasn't war and I wish there wasn't all of these things. I wish that there was plenty of... You know, I wish there was hard stop gaps. And I don't think the ASAI are a perfect body either.
No.
I think that they're probably trying to do their best with, you know, but it's never 100% what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it was an interesting conversation because we had also spoke, there was a bit of voice notes back and forth where we kind of both said that we wish we both weren't as judgy of the, like, of the yes. other kind of circumstance.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's so easy to kind of hop into that. And that's something that I did say at the top of this episode. I think coming from myself and yourself who have a level of, yeah, we do have full-time jobs, but we have done a little bit of content and we have done a little bit of X, Y, and Z. Mm. This is a podcast. We make some money off that. Mm. We're kind of sitting on all the fences.
We are.
We're in the field of fences.
That's the thing. But I think we're given a little bit more respect because we still have day time jobs. You know what I mean?
Which I don't think is correct.
No, it's not.
Not that it's not correct. It doesn't sit comfy. The most comfiest with that. And I am also, I want to put my hands up and say, I'm asking my audience and my followers. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be somebody who could come in and be like, no, I actually think that you're more of an X for this because of these other reasons why.
Yeah.
But I was asking for opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
How it sits this in this year, our Lord and Savior.
So we've heard from another influencer and also friend of the pod. Would we say influencer?
I think anybody on social media who has
audience,
they kind of are. And like, if you
community builder,
he's more of a community builder. He got his own house. Now, to be fair, he did get a few little bits, like influencer bits, in the past. Like,
yeah, but that mainly to do with his like audience. Anyway, sorry, it's Kieran Mulqueen from Crazy. I don't know why we're saying this.
Yeah,
Kieran from Crazy House Prices was very kind and sent us a voice note. I asked him a couple of questions. We were talking briefly about the episode and I just asked him, does he feel like his audience has kind of changed toward him since he's done a couple of things with things that make sense for his audience, like
absolutely
banks and mortgage advisors and you know, his page is called Crazy House Prices. He puts in an insane amount of work into that page, into that community. He's somebody who gets back to every single DM. He's someone who like has a full-time job, two small kids, a wife, a house, everything else, and he does all this on the side. And he has a podcast. He's been on our podcast, I think it was 4 years ago, maybe
it was during lockdown.
So 3 or 4 years ago he was on our podcast. We're gonna have him on again soon enough, but he has sent us his insights into audience and what the expectations are for people maybe with platforms like his or similar.
Hi ladies, thank you very much for getting in touch with me. Delighted to be back on the podcast. It's a bit weird when I'm just talking. I know I'm just only able to send you a voice note, but hope to get back on the podcast with you guys soon. Just to run through, you sent me a couple of questions there about expectations and since I started doing paid work. So I started doing paid work a couple of years ago and it has been really good, actually. I've had a really positive experience with it, both in terms of feedback from followers and in terms of the companies I work with. So the way I've done it is I have my agency and they do all the negotiation side of it. But I actually did a reel on this on my page the other day just to be super transparent with my followers as to how the paid work operates, like on the page. So I have just kind of chosen a few companies that I will work with and they're companies then that I trust and I know. So for example, I've been working with a company called Beat the Bank and another company called Financial Planning Matters. They're the same company, same owners. So I'll do kind of 1 month on Beat the Bank, 1 month on Financial Planning Matters, and I'm mates with the owner and Niall, and he's just a legend and provides an amazing service for my followers. So it's really, like, I'm not going to say easy work. That makes it sound like it's not valuable to followers, but my whole goal with everything I post is that I try make, whether it's paid work or unpaid work, I want it to be educational for everyone. So the finance stuff, I think, is something that we lack a lot of knowledge of in Ireland because we don't do a huge amount of it in school. And I think we're almost afraid to talk about finances as well. And I guess my task is to try and make it more interesting, like pensions and stuff aren't sexy. So trying to make it more interesting and make as educational as I can. And then another company I work with is a mortgage broker, which obviously fits in really well with the page. Now, I've had loads of companies reach out to me looking for collaboration work, but I actually turn a lot down because I don't want my page to just be all about that, all about paid work. So as it currently is, it's only about 1% of everything I post is paid, and over 99% is just free content. So the mortgage broker I'm working with is Finance Solutions, and that's Owen the Mortgage Guy, who you probably know from Instagram. That's where he works. So again, a brilliant company, and I know them really well, and I've been working with them. With Owen, I wrote a journal with Owen and all sorts. So I really trust him, and I know they do a great job as well for my followers that use him. And then I'm also, I have a contract with Daft, basically trying to do surveys with my followers for Daft as to how they can improve the app, what they can do, and then also just kind of highlighting tools on the app that people maybe don't know a huge amount about. Like, so Daft have built this thing into their platform that you can do offers online, and I really like that because it makes it really transparent. You know you're not bidding against yourself and stuff. So they're my three main contracts that I work with. And sorry, this probably all sounds really boring now.
I didn't know that about the Daft feedback.
I haven't really got any negative feedback, to be honest. I think I have built up kind of a really good rapport with my audience. I know them really well, and they know me really well, and they know that I'm not going to sell them shit. So, and with the company supporting me means I can keep doing the 99% of free stuff that I do on the page. So I think I've built up a lot of credit with my followers and in that aspect, because there is so much free content there on the page. And I spend literally 3-4 hours every day in DMs getting back to people. So in terms of what people expect from me then in DMs, it's kind of like anything. I think the process of buying a home is so overly complicated and overly difficult, more difficult than it should be. And that's a whole other podcast that I've done before with you, and we'll probably do again. But I totally understand why people are at a loss, and they feel like, I guess I have, through the popularity of the page, I guess somehow managed to position myself in some sort of agony uncle role for people who are trying to buy a home in Ireland. And I've literally written the book on it. So I can understand people's frustrations and basically any question I get in, I've gotten in before. So the way I deal with that is I tend to have saved replies for the most common questions that come in, or I'll link them to a podcast I've done on it, because a lot of things need more nuance, a lot of things need a bit more in depth of an answer. So rather than me just give them, you know, a two-word answer, it's like, okay, check out this episode of my podcast or whatever. So it does take a huge amount of time. And for the most part, people are really grateful, which is great. I've just had a really positive experience with it all. I very, very rarely get any kind of negativity, any trolling or anything like that. I have my own opinions on that. And I think as wrong as this is, I think a lot of it is down to the fact that I'm a man. And unfortunately, I think women just get a lot more grief and trolling online than men do. And I think that's dreadful. So unfortunately, I think that could be part of the reason why. And I don't think that's okay. I think everybody should treat everybody with respect online. The odd time I'll get back to someone and I'm just like, dude, like, you really need to look at how you engage online. Like, I'm not here. I don't work for you. I'm not your servant. Like, the odd time I get someone who's just like, this content isn't relevant for me. That single person managed to buy a house, but what's the context of it? Did they have rich parents or not? I'm like, dudes, like, come on. So that's very, very rare. I mean, like, it might be one in every couple of thousand messages. So for the most part, it's been really good and really positive. And I do think I've built up a bit of credit there because I've done so much helpful stuff that sometimes people are just messaging being like, they'll ask me a question that I've already answered somewhere on the page. So I'll just try, I'll just link them to a post I've already done on it, because I understand it's, you're not going to scroll down through a couple of hundred posts on an Instagram page before you ask the question. It's easier and quicker for them to just pop into the DMs and ask a question. So for the most part, I think it's been great. And I would like to, well, I'm looking forward to listening to this, because I want to know how you guys are getting on, because I do feel like, from my own experience anyway, I get very, very little trolling, but I know most other people or influencers or whatever people want to call themselves do get a lot of trolling online. So I'll be interested to hear why. And thank you guys for doing it. And I hope to speak to you both very soon.
That was interesting to he's like, do you know what I mean? Kieran is just loved all round, and he's just so good with his content. And we actually spoke about this on our Patreon episode. We were like, he shares the good news stories. He's the person that people go to DM when they buy a house. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just, he is that for people, and he's built more so a community rather than a following,
mm-hmm.
which is just lovely to see. But I do appreciate that he knows the difference. And like, I appreciate that he can recognise that women do get more shit just for being women.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really appreciate him saying that, because it's something that we didn't actually touch on.
Yeah.
In this episode, like, we just kind of take it for as it is. Yeah, like.
We forgot to add that one in.
Yeah. It is so true, though, because like, even all of the, like, the gossip, the troll accounts, the gossip forums, all that, like, we know it's mostly women.
Yeah, and again, there's so much that he said in that, and it's so nuanced, and I think it's great to see that it's such a positive experience for him.
I'm glad that it is.
Because I'm like, fuck me, you put so much work into it. I'm like, well done. Do you know? So I'm like, I'm really, it's nice to hear that. But it's also nice to have a man unprompted understand that there is a gender specific quality to the level of positivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really,
it's refreshing to hear.
Refreshing to hear. And it's really like, again, it just puts the spotlight back on what we were talking about last week,
mm-hmm.
on that women on women crime and the level of, I suppose, distaste that does be going on at the moment. And yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I did find out towards the end of that it was quite, I was like, he still gets the what about me is in posts. Yeah. So
it does. It's like, do they have reach? I'm not going into that. I'm not here.
But what about me? But what about me? Yeah, like, that's not, you know what I mean?
I'm not writing a thesis on this one human being.
It just goes to show that it's not it's not always the content creator, it's the person receiving the content. Like, it's just, that's
for sure.
Absolutely. You know, a valid point.
There's that.
But thanks, Kieran. We will hopefully have him on the podcast soon.
Very soon.
I have another DM here. Hello, OG listener. Love you. Thank you. Love you too. We were chatting about this in work the past week, and out of 10 of us, we all said we've unfollowed a huge amount of influencers. We all said it was due to the cost of living. Some influencers are selling this idea that, air quotes, oh, you absolutely need this or you'll die without it. We ranged in age from 24 to 35 with the same opinion that we've become more buying conscious. If the same sponsored post is coming from many influencers, we've all passed on it. I think influencers have hit saturated levels, and it's shown with more sponsored posts. No longer are we buying hauls of clothes. Instead, we are swapping dresses for weddings.
But that's like a conscious consumer. That's how like we're moving forward.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a massive, I think you have to move with the times too.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard sometimes, because there is, again, a pedestal on people that I think have moved on from the straight up influencing that they came from, like your typical Irish businesswoman, like a Rosie Connolly or maybe a Pippa or any of those kind of people that have kind of moved into businesses now. And it's almost like there's this kind of like, you've got your businesswoman and it's like almost untouchable in a way, because it's like, well, they now have a business, so therefore they're legitimate. And I'm like, but how did they get that business?
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other.
You were doing YouTube videos all the way up until now. Like,
and it's almost like when people, you know, the same debate where like people came off Love Island and they're like, I want to forget, like Ekansu and maybe Big Brother. She was like, that wasn't, you know, I want to forget about that. I'm like, you kind of can't though.
You can't. That's where you started. That'd be like Molly May saying, I wish I never went on Love Island.
She never said, I wish I didn't go on Love Island. But she did.
It would be like her saying that.
But she has said before that, she has said where she's like, I mean, I didn't just come off. I'm like, babe, that's where you go. And I'm like, oh.
You wouldn't be this far if you didn't.
You can't. There's a phrase around it I cannot remember, but it's like you can't look that way about that thing when that thing is why you're on
this
level. There's a slick saying
that's
not coming.
That's a stupid way of saying it.
But I did. I have this from Simone Scribes.
Okay,
you'll find her on Instagram. She is a beauty writer, content creator, esthetician, training to be an esthetician.
Glass face beauty queen.
Glass face beauty queen. Great fucking skin, I tell you that.
Fucking grey face.
Fucking beautiful. Jesus, she's gorgeous. But she did give 4 separate points.
Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm. From the outside, I think it's great to see so many genuine influencers and media types leaning into careers and niches that they've built from being online, launching fashion and beauty brands, etc. 2, directly connected to this, I think the selling anything approach is now very much on the way out. People just won't tolerate it. It's not believable, it's not realistic for influencers to be shilling one random product one day, and the other the next day. It's lazy and it is quite insulting to the audience, in my opinion. From the inside, I think influencing, and I really hate that word, has really established itself as a standalone industry. Brands are basing large parts of this strategy on influencers. I don't think it's an industry that's going anywhere anytime soon. If anything, it's going to eclipse traditional approaches to marketing. And on that point, while influencing is an important part of brand strategies, a large portion of them are still taking the piss when it comes to rates and more specifically usage. So many still treat influencers like morons, like they don't understand contracts, exclusivity, etc. When in actuality, there are business-to-business transactions and they should be treated as such. It can be embarrassing.
Yeah.
And she said, and seen.
I think there's so many companies out there that haven't used influencers. And so they go in and wing it. And it's just, like she said, it's just unprofessional kind of. Mm-hmm. You can tell when they've never worked with an influencer before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like this game has been going. We're touching on, like, we're on the later half of it being a decade now. Do you know? Sure. Like, it's just, it's kind of, it is funny. And it's, like, it's, I see all of our points. I do.
And then I had someone, I think, I don't know why, you know when, like, little snippets hit hard?
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was, like, a reaction to a question box. So it's, like, 2 sentences. But I was like, Jesus, I don't know why, but I never thought of it this way.
Okay.
Someone said, I'd like to see grassroots influencing again, not here's me making my morning coffee. As in proper beauty and makeup trialing, feedback, not this strange daily routine stuff. We don't need to be shown how to live our daily lives.
Oh.
I don't know why. I was like, my brain has exploded.
That slapped me in the face. Yeah.
Not that I've ever fucking created that content before in my life, but yeah, I suppose, yeah. I think TikTok made that popular.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
It's great. Faces has been doing that on Snapchat since 2017.
Oh, I suppose I was never really.
Do you know, like, yeah, it is kind of one of those things, and it's a very Instagram thing, I think.
I don't know if it's because I see more of it on TikTok.
I'm only just on TikTok.
I think it's almost more acceptable on TikTok because it's like swipe, 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 swipe,
yeah,
swipe.
It doesn't fit. Yeah.
Whether it's on like Instagram, I'm like, bah! You know, I'm like, what are you doing?
What is it about TikTok where I think it's because it's the For You page.
Yeah, you give it a chance, don't you? You're like, I didn't fucking follow this, but it's okay because it's on my For You.
Because they're not shoving it in my face. Whereas because Instagram, you're scrolling through. Well, it is a For You thing now, but it was a soft launch because you have to specifically select the following tab at the top of your Instagram feed. But generally, you just think you're scrolling through people that you follow, and then you're like, I think people start getting a bit pissed off because if they see something that they don't like, they're like, I don't like this. Why are you giving this to me? It's the what about me-ism again. Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know what it is about. It's like, it's just so funny, the difference between all the different social media platforms.
Yeah. And it's really like, because on my page, like in particular, I've been I've been targeted the same fucking Rimmel mascara ad.
Mm.
Not Rimmel's fault.
Yeah.
TikTok's fault because there's a fuck up in the there's a fuck up in their targeting.
Right.
Cuz I'm like, I shouldn't be shown this consistently. Every time I open the app, I'm shown the same fucking person with the same.
You can report that as a problem.
I've reported it as not interested, but it hasn't fixed the problem. So I'll report it as a problem.
Cuz remember I was looking for,
cuz they're wasting their money. Like, they're wasting that money on me again. I'm like, yo.
Do you know when I was having a little root round last week, because on our TikTok for the pod, we can see who viewed our profile, whatever. I was going through all the settings. There is a thing on it where you report a problem, and one of the problems is repeatedly seen the ad that you said not interested.
Oh, that,
like
okay.
It's a specific thing. They know it happens. So do that.
Because from working with digital marketers before, I remember they were saying that there was a level of unreliability when it comes to TikTok audience grouping.
Right.
Because they got the feedback that the same people were being showed the same ads. And I was like, not fixed, by the way. Yeah. Not fixed in any way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. Feed that one back.
I've another one here. Just my two cents on this. I think it's important influencers put actual effort into their ads and paid content. I always use James Cavanagh as an example, as his ads are brilliant. Unfortunately, some of the OG Irish influencers, she names a few, are very lazy with their content and it's the same old shy and a bit careless. I think this is why so many people get fucked off with influencers doing nothing for a job.
Mm.
You can't, like, you could.
Everyone has different styles, though. And personally, yeah. I want to, like, I, you know, the way there's this, and again, this is like me, and this is where I'm like, this is not the content for me. When I see people doing like Quentin Tarantino levels of content, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This is a lot. This is too much.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't like that level. But
yeah.
If there's people making it, there's a market for it.
Yeah.
So again, I take myself out of that.
Like,
and I say, you know what, this isn't for me. So yeah. I'm not going to interact. And I might just mute. And if I can get away with it, I'll unfollow. But not everybody that I follow,
but I can
get away with unfollowing.
But now, based off, and I'm not going to name who she kind of says is somebody that she's getting fucked off with, but just by the people that she's named, from my top line level, like understanding of it, is that those people are constantly working with those
brands.
So okay. It's not that it's the same old content. That's their job.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, it's not revolutionary and it's not anything new, but it is what they're known for. It's kind of like an updated, say like it's a fashion haul, it's what's new in the shop, that kind of thing. But it's not a fucking crime either. Do you know, like, it is what we've come to expect from them, and I don't think it's fair to say they're getting paid for doing fuck all. I don't think it's fair to say mm-hmm. that. Do you know?
Yeah.
Because they're just like they get their thing and they're making their bag. Like, do you know what I mean? If you're not interested in it, just scroll on.
No, but I think it's okay to turn around and say, that's lazy content. I don't want to interact with that. I think that's fair
too.
I know,
but that's fair enough. But you don't, like, don't interact with it saying this is lazy. Do you know what I mean?
You can judge the content. Like, I do feel like you can judge. I think you can judge everyone's content, but I don't think that you can create a narrative around that content.
No, exactly. Or project. You know? Yeah.
I don't think you can decide whether one is good. And I think you can, obviously in your head, you're like, one is for me. As I just said, I can't with the Quentin Tarantino stuff.
Yeah.
I find it, like, I appreciate the effort, but I find it mortifying.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, who is interacting with that more than someone being like, let me run you through my favourites on, say, Hulu.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. But that's the content I like.
Yeah, okay. And Whereas I probably like,
you like
the
fucking
stuff.
Yeah, I can't with that. I think it's bonkers to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, who puts that level of effort into anything?
Yeah. See,
and I think it's real, like,
stuff, I think, is
But I'm also like, who's this for?
It's for me.
No, but I'm like, you didn't, like, most people don't. I've never seen somebody do an ad and build a following off an ad.
No, that's true.
Get me so
that's
like true, you're not building.
To be fair.
Like, an ad is something that you do once you have the following. An ad is not something that, like, gets you followers.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I don't, like, but I do understand they're, like, trying to attract brands. So there is that kind of level of, like,
yeah,
trying to attract brands. But I personally,
you're not, it's not for you.
It's not for me. And I understand that they are trying to attract a certain level of brand. But I also don't know. From what I know from working in marketing, that stuff doesn't perform.
Okay.
At all.
Do you not think, right, here's a point before, because mm-hmm. I think we'll wrap it up now after we hear from Lindsay, but do you think there's something behind when you hashtag something mad?
Yeah.
It doesn't perform.
Yeah, but that's Instagram being like, you're being paid, you should pay me. So that's like, it's not how it used to be, whether it's back in the day you could fucking hashtag ad and you can, like, you still have to do it. You absolutely still have to do it. But it's really frustrating that platforms will deplatform and will shadow ban things. Like, for instance, in work this week, we realized that we were shadow banned. They were showing 1% of our audience our content.
Oh my God.
And the three posts. So when you go in, so if you go into account status, so everybody who, anyone can do this, go into settings, go into account status, and you should have all green ticks. But we had, you know, what it was, a warning sign.
Oh.
And we clicked in and it was just, they, no reasons whatsoever. No reasons whatsoever as to, and it was like, we've reviewed this. This has been reported. We've reviewed it and it's good to go. But it still had us as orange. So we had to delete the posts and then we were back in the green, even though they were like, sorry, we made a mistake.
Oh,
so it's
my
like,
God.
Fuck you anyway.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, let's take it down, reschedule it. Let's do, you know what I mean? It's just, oh, you can't win.
Yeah.
But like, and also, I've seen a lot of debates being like, you do realize that like Instagram's a business too. And if you're a business who's using Instagram to promote, like to make money for your business, there should be a cut of that going to them too. Yes and no. You know, but I'll be here all day trying to talk the nuances between those two.
Yeah, but I also have I get that they are a business and they're trying to make revenue and stuff like that. But say for the likes of, say with TikTok, right? Or even Instagram, because this happens on Instagram. Say I know you from school.
Yeah.
Right? And I just happen to go on your Instagram page one day. You have 100 posts and I'm scrolling through. Every third post is an ad.
Yeah.
On your feed. Yeah. I'm on your page and I'm being fed ads. You ain't getting money for that.
Yeah, no, and that's...
Do you know what I mean?
No, and I'm like, Instagram has plenty of ways of making money. They don't need my €3.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that's... But again, as I said, we'd be here all day. There's like, there's a yes and no to that. And there is a debate around that and like the ethics of that and what they can and can't. Like, you can't create a community. And that's leading us really nicely into our next guest performer, shall we say.
Yeah.
But there is... Instagram is a community. Having an, being an influencer and being an influencer who gets to do ads and sponsored content and gets to do paid bits and bobs, there is a level of community that you have built. And I've said this plenty of times before. I think it's been like my unpopular opinion where sometimes I feel like influencers get disillusioned with this, where it's like, you're not being paid because you're Jen Hatton, OMG. Oh my God, I'm paying for your audience.
Yeah.
It's like the brand doesn't want to work with you. The brand wants to work with your audience. You're not getting this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's not like, oh my God, I've picked Jen's special star from the sky. And I think that's like the level of...
They've picked me 4/7.
Yeah, there's... Yeah. And that's very... Like, I don't think... Like, I'm not trying to be disingenuous by saying this, but I don't also think that like the intentions... I know for a fact when a brand wants to work with me, and from the feedback that I've had from brands are like that.
You know, from marketing, you've probably worked with influencers that you can't fucking stand, but you want their following.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
It's like, you're the best person to be able to say that's what a company wants.
Yeah. And but it's also like, there can be this like disillusion, and I don't think it goes well when people are like, I can't fucking believe this is incredible. I put it on my
or if somebody turned around and being like, yeah, well, Coke wanted to work with me and they don't want to work with you.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, your demographic was hitting certain markets. Yeah. But like, I can't, not my job in educating people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not my fucking job. Like, this is a very obvious thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you don't have to be me who works in marketing to know this. Do you know? I think everybody should kind of like put two and two together and get that one straight in their head. But I think it's interesting when you're talking about community and when you're talking about building community, because like, for instance, I know I'm not somebody who uses, and this is, again, this is a very personal experience. This is me. I'm not someone who does a ton of ad work. And that's mainly because I have a full-time job.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of effort. And also me particularly, I'm very picky and I'm very hard on myself about the things that I create. And you might look at my page and go, ha, that's gas. But that is, it's also, I'm going up against my own standard. It's really tough. But I'm like, it's my own standard, you know? So I have my little, I have the way that I do things, okay? And there's something that I don't, there's something that I don't tend to use all that often. That's affiliate links. Why? Because, oh my God, third party fucking, fair fucks to all the people out there using affiliate links. They're a ball ache. They're a ball ache to set up. They're a ball ache to get together and they're a ball ache to get paid from. So I'm like, oh, fuck off a lot of the times. But I do think it's interesting. Some of the absolute chancy mad shite that I've seen go on from like brand, because again, you have to remember, a brand isn't brand. A brand is people working for brand. A brand is people pitching ideas to brand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not Carla. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, there can be a level of people being like, no, we're not working with them, or yes, we are, or a bit of this, that, and the other. But again, you do really have to like take off your, as you said, there's plenty of people that I've paid in the past that I wouldn't be a fan. Mm-hmm. As in, I've met them in person, wouldn't be a fucking fan. Mm-hmm. As in, rude, wouldn't be a fan. But also understand they don't come across that way on online.
Yeah, yeah.
Get it. Understand it. Mm-hmm. Put it in a basket, move on. Because you have to be that person. You have to be both ways. So, affiliate links particularly, I don't use all that often. Mm-hmm. And I know from, there was an incident with a brand not too long ago, shall we say, where I had been kind of emailing back and forth. There was an ask of an exchange of product. There was a meetup had happened, a conversation had happened, and they had gone very cold on me. Mm-hmm. So I don't take these things personally. Because there was no conversation about money exchanging hands. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of a like potential to work together. Mm-hmm. And that was fine. Anyway, whatever. I had this product anyway. I used it a few times and I'd used an affiliate code. And I got an email 2 weeks later saying that I had I'm not going to say the number, mm-hmm. but I'd had more redemptions than anyone in the UK and Ireland.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, gas.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, I was so flippant with that. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, there you go.
Yeah.
Off you fuck.
You sell things out though.
But I don't have that, like, I don't think that either. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I it's think not that. Like me being, but it's not me being like, I don't think that of me. It's just like, I don't, like, unfortunately, I wish I put more effort into my platform, but I'm all over the shop. Mm-hmm. And I wish I did. But I found it so fucking gas because then all of a sudden they're up my hole.
Ah, yeah.
And I was like, so we went from interesting. Now, it was a different person than I had originally spoken to. So maybe there was like a transfer of account. But I know that the previous person, I just thought it was so mad. I was like, aren't you fucking gas?
Ah, yeah. Hilarious now.
And they were like, okay, so we can do X, Y, and Z. We can do like, these are all the things. And I was like, oh, the door has been opened.
Yeah. Where was that energy?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I was like, where was your energy?
Yeah.
Because you were giving that, sorry, the thing that was interesting to me, and again, I don't let these things, because this isn't my full-time job, but I can absolutely understand to people that it is their full-time job, that that would be hurtful because you're kind of like trying to figure out how you do these things. But they were giving so much energy to other creators. Mm-hmm. They were giving outstanding backflip energy, shall we say.
Yeah.
Olympic sprint gymnast vibe. Hurler. Yeah, yeah. You know, like it was going to other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, the proofs in the you know, that kind of thing where I'm like, isn't that mad?
Yeah. Well, it goes to show you as well, though, it's the people who follow you. And it's been a tale as old as time. I think since I've started on social media, I know that people prefer the more genuine person, the more, you know what I mean?
I disagree.
Do you think so? Yeah.
I disagree.
Really?
I don't think people prefer real, genuine, honest people. They don't. Because it's not the real, genuine, honest people that have the largest followings.
That's very true.
It's the mass appeal that have the largest followings.
Yeah.
And that's my debate. I don't personally believe that at all.
No, as in the engagement, the compulsion to actually take your recommendation on board. Like if you were the one who had the most redemptions out of people that they were doing fucking backflips for, who I'm going to say somebody could have had over 1 million followers and you got more redemptions than them. Mm. Does that not prove that?
I suppose for that one specific thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that could also be because, as I said, I don't take on a ton.
Yeah,
And again, it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column A. It's a little bit of laziness and it's a little bit of like the fuckery that goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's my own problem. Mm-hmm. And I internalize that sometimes and I completely like overthink that. And I'm like, you're mad.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I do. And and I have this debate often with other people, like other creators I know, where I'm like, if I just acted like a bollocks 24/9, I'd probably be on a yacht in Barbados right now. But I'm not arsed and it's not me. And then I'm like, who am I to decide that either? Where I'm like, and it's just not me, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm giving myself the ick.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. So there's a bit of that, but I thought it was really interesting because Lindsay, Mermaid of Jade, is a human being who, as she has always said, you can never come for her because she is so herself online.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I'm just 185% myself. And she's somebody who puts a lot of energy and purpose into community. And I think, again, she's one of my friends, but I will say she created, like, call a spade a spade.
Oh, she's fucking
community queen. Like, she is like the person, and she's always been that. She was the original founder of Maz Who Drink.
Yeah.
She had It Girls, which was an incredible podcast community with her.
Yeah.
Like, and she was co-creator of that. And like she is somebody who, you know, again, she's my friend. I have a high opinion of her. But even if you're somebody who might not have a high opinion of her, she knows how to create a community.
She loves people.
Because she loves people.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. I was listening to Lipstick Lessons, which I do love. And I think it's great because she changes my mind on things. You know what I mean? And I love listening to something and being like, oh, you've changed my mind on things. Because I can be quite bullish, as we know. Mm-hmm. And I can be quite dead set on things. But I thought it was really interesting how she spoke about community and how she spoke about how it's just not going to work in the future, the way that people are kind of platforming themselves and not turning their backs on community. But like, again, let's bring it back to like Taylor Swift. She does a lot of stuff for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also, she does a lot of stuff for the fans because it also equals money.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was that kind of like, she was talking about like that delicate balance of like creating community, and that's like when the chips are down and you go through shit, and Lindsay's gone through a lot of shit online, mm-hmm. that's who'll be there standing you. Those will be the people that like stand and understand you. If they're, and I think her overall thing was like, if you're rolling with me now, you're rolling with 100% me. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get a shock because there will be no shocks for you.
Yeah,
there will be no like, skeletons in the closet, because I'm telling you the stuff that other people won't.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a really interesting take, because I'm like, yeah. And she was speaking as well about, you know, people who don't get back to DMs, people who don't get back to comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of sit on the fence somewhere. I think you do too.
Mm.
I get back to every single human being on our podcast page, but on my personal page, I don't.
Yeah, I don't have the time.
Because there's a level of, I don't have the time. And there's also a level of the audacity of some people.
Well, yeah, there is that level of dread. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like on the podcast page, there is no, I don't know why, and it's like it was in my own brain. It is different.
It's community.
Oh, I get where you went with that one. We cracked the fucking code.
Now I see where you're steering to.
Yeah, it's a community, but I'd love to have that. I used to have that on like my personal Instagram page, but I think unfortunately I got taken advantage of a lot, and I was doing a lot of the work.
Yeah.
For what I felt like was absolutely fuck all back.
Yeah.
Whether what that looks like. And you should do things out of enjoyment and whatever. So now it's like, it's great. We both love having this podcast. We both love doing this. But I asked Lindsay to kind of elaborate a little bit on this topic. And I asked her for her thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to listen to now.
The birth of the internet was 1983. So we've had the internet for a long time. And it is,
she's going way back.
Like, it is a world. I think still we're like, oh my God, the internet's so new. Social media. It's not that new. It's what's happened since its birth is so much. It's, I guess, kind of like a mirror to the art and cultural political world that has now existed and transferred onto the World Wide Web. For so long, we pretended that it wasn't a space, where it is a space. Very much so. It's very live. Like, it's like there is life on Mars. There is life on the internet. There is abuse on the internet. Like, there is all different types of jobs, ways to use it, ways to absorb information, entertain yourselves, learn whatever. Then with influencing and social media and working on the internet, or especially really as someone who is self-employed on the internet, it's kind of like we've just like, it's so much easier to carve out a little niche for yourself, whether you're a musician, a chef. There's so many different ways. And that has just been multiplying so fastly and hard to keep up. So I think now we're in a space where we're looking back, or now we're in a time where we're looking back at like the history of the internet and really learning from the history as to how to move forward. I think for a while there, it was so easy to make money online, and that was crazy. Everyone was, it was like the Celtic Tiger online. There was so much money. I know, like, for myself, I didn't, to be honest, I wasn't great at, like, I made loads of money with it, God. There was so much money on the internet. And then people got, like, more people were creating jobs for themselves. And then people were more choosy with how they spend money. And then there's anger and resentment to people who were able to make more money. Because, like, being an artist or a singer, there's not, like, a ease, like, oh, you do this and this and this. Like, it's not like you go to college, accountancy or whatever, and become that. Like, it is very much like what you make of it. And you also have to be able to predict, like, to use the history of the internet and to be able to predict where it's going to go, like forecast where it's going to go. And there's a lot of, there's just different variants of quality online, and it's up to you. I don't know. I think it's difficult as well, because when something ebbs and flows like it does with the internet, like, everything just changes, moods, words. Like, I feel now we are kind of coming out of that whole woke stuff, and we're actually laughing at that, even though that was only a couple of years ago. That was, everyone was getting cancelled left, right and centre. Yeah, so I think it's strange, because there's, I think now we're going to see people, we're going to separate the weak from the actually useful people, creative people, valuable people online. We're going to see that separation, because there's a lot of people who, when the internet was maybe more easier to predict, they were making a lot of money. Now they're not making as much money whilst working the same, and they don't really know how to change that. And yeah, you just have to be really creative and cultivate something in that space that is worthwhile. Yeah, like, I mean, even with when the whole woke thing happened, then that birthed a lot of influencers who were leaning into the woke, I think, in part because that would make them potentially go viral. It was like a new hashtag, you know. It was a way to make money. It was a way to quickly get a load of, you know, oh, I'm going to be the voice for the person in the wheelchair, or the voice for the person who is non-binary, trans, like, whatever. And all these other people started coming about, and then it's like that brought, yeah, it's been crazy. Like, when you look at it, what the fuck is going on online? It's crazy. And, you know, someone like me who, I work online, I have created my own community, and it's happened organically somewhat. It's like also something that I didn't even notice things that I was doing that actually were work. And still to this day, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is constant work. Just like other people, I didn't value it or understand it. It took me a while. And there's been loads of mistakes, and but also like loads of, yeah, I've met loads of people online, Carla, Jen, which is wild. I've met Claire Balding, just everyone. A lot of the people who I have on my podcast, if not most of them, I have met through the internet. And really, I have great, great friends, real relationships with people I've met online. So I feel like it has benefited me hugely. I feel like I've fallen in love with my job more than ever. I feel like I'm excited by the internet. I'm excited by what's to come. And there is no one way. But it's all a balance. Even like I see a lot of influencers talking about like, oh, fuck the hate. One can't exist without the other. You cannot have a Meghan Markle level of fame, or even a like 100K level of fame. You cannot just get good comments. You will get torn down. Stop crying about it. Try to untangle it. Where does that come from? What is wrong? What is okay? Why is it okay on the world of the internet to talk like that? And it's not like, answer these questions, try and figure it out, like explore it. Stop being so like, someone said I looked fat on the internet. Like, so what? Like, why are you acting like you haven't gone into, like, you know, like had a shady comment in your life? Like, I don't know. That's my thoughts on the internet right now. If you didn't realize, I've been really exploring this heavily over the past like year, I guess, on Lipstick Lessons. So join me over there. Please, thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Some interesting points, shall we say.
Lindsay is thriving on the internet.
mean, I don't know. Like, for someone who
has had so much shit,
who has had so much shit, like, she bounces back every time.
But you know what? I think she has done a lot of work in what she was saying. Like, if somebody calls you something online, look into why that is. And it's not, you'll soon see it's not your problem.
Yeah, but I still don't think it's okay.
No, it's, you know, it's absolutely like, not.
And it's hard. And I think I absolutely agree with what she's saying. You can't have one without the other. Yeah. You literally can't do anything. You can't be like...
In an ideal world, it'd be great. Like,
I've seen hateful comments on videos of like granddads mowing the grass.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that about?
It's never going to... Yeah.
Yeah, it's mental illness, babe. But like, there's... You're never going to be able to, as I said, you're never going to be able to be all things for all people. But I don't think the culture of trolling, anonymous forums, anonymous profiles or any of that other stuff is like, is in any way like a cool thing.
No.
But again, I don't think even people that use them are like, well, I hardly think it's a cool thing, but it's now. So there's a bit of that going on. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do want to say, and we'll delve into this more on our Patreon episode, is that I do think that there is a much higher expectation on people who are part of marginalized groups. I think there is a much, much, much higher expectation for them to be a level of perfect and a level of an idea that people have on them.
Really?
Yeah. I think people that belong to the LGBTQIA plus community, I feel like fat people, I feel like disabled people, I feel like... anybody from any kind of marginalized group, mm-hmm. I feel like they have such a higher expectation from their audience that almost detaches them from when they make a mistake.
Yeah.
So when it's like treble the work, I feel like, for them. Because I think people project images of trust.
Yeah, that's, you know, true.
And I think that is a really hard thing for anyone to... I know that Lindsay was talking about it briefly, just about like woke culture and where people were kind of going with that stuff. But I do think that there is such a higher level of expectation on those than say somebody who is, I don't want to say vanilla or basic, or do you know what I mean? Because like, we're all a bit vanilla, we're all a bit basic, but as in for people who are living, I suppose, a more, what would you say, expected life, or a more normalized, or, you know, what would you call it? Neurotypical life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely valid.
Yeah.
We will. Well, you need to go and record that. This conversation is not over.
This is not finished, right? We've got loads more to say.
So we're going to be doing that. Getting
proper candid on Patreon. Yeah.
Before we wrap up on this episode, we'll obviously give you a snippet, as we, I say, always do. We've been doing it about 4 weeks now.
No, we always do that for you guys. My God, we're fucking crazy.
Before we go, you have an unpopular opinion?
Yeah. Jen, I felt like I was at an AC/DC concert. That was so loud.
See, that I'm trying to fucking figure it out. That's on our side. It won't go out as loud now.
I know.
Which I figured out because our podcast came on in the car today and I couldn't pop to hear. I was distraught. I was. Anyway.
And they're freaking out. My unpopular opinion is people who are trying to conceive, calling it...
Oh, this is starting... I'm like, what are you going to say?
People who are trying to conceive, like, calling it practicing. Oh my God.
Oh no.
I want to, like, having great fun practicing though.
I've never heard that.
What? It's such an American thing. We're having great fun practicing though. Getting a lot of practice. Grow up.
Yeah.
Say SEX.
yeah.
But also, why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
Like, bonkers behavior. I see it often and it makes me want to drop dead Fred. It's wild to me that people go on
like
that.
But do you not think, like, it's a, well,
like,
it's,
shut
it's,
up.
It's like, the making the joke out of it, but you would be like,
we're having great fun practicing. Oh my God, I want to die.
Yeah, you see, if it was a serious conversation about, look, we're doing this, if it was a serious, that needs to be normalised, but like this, what you're saying, we're having great
fun practicing.
It's so much fun. Now that's cringy.
I will body slam you if I hear that one more time. That is foul.
Electric chair.
electric shade. That's so like, that should be in like the cringe part of Ms. Magazine.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Violent.
Brah.
Just real. No, but we're having great fun practicing.
Brah.
You know, like when people are like, yeah. And I get it where they're like, oh, he's getting on. Yeah, we're trying at the moment. Well, we're having great fun practicing.
Yeah. Immediately.
Like, immediately no.
Yeah, okay. I've got a stamper.
I'm going to be the like the bully in a Beano mag towards you now in a minute. Hate it.
I'm going to strangle you.
I'm fucking vile.
Oh, do you have a stamper?
Jen, what if I not?
All right, hang on. I'll hit it.
Kyla's stomper of the week. Actually, I'm still lolling about that. Imagine.
I know, yeah.
You're saying that at a barbecue? Your family are here.
Yeah, I know.
Have a bit of decorum. Honestly.
Cop yourself on.
Yeah, just like, just maybe don't be a freak for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, this is called Don't You Cry.
Okay.
By Sunday Scaries, who are the same people behind Didn't I move like that? Anyway, this is it.
Oh, what did you do over there?
Don't know. My fault.
Ah, I like that already.
I knew you would.
You calling me basic? Yeah. Oh my God. There's something so 2008 about that.
Are you ready for summer?
Fuck off.
No. We're getting ready for summer.
There is something so 2008 about that.
You're telling everyone at the barbecue you're practicing. You're back.
I feel like I'm back in the Pirates radio station.
I'm ready
with Adam. Adam.
No, we're Adam.
Me fella.
No, it's with Adam.
I'm back in, fuck, I don't even know what the names of the stations were. Hilarious though. Hilarious.
Pirate Radio.
Pirate Radio in the shed in the back of a farm in Navan. Anyway, we're going to lead it out with a little snippet from our Patreon. The link is always down in the description. In the prescription, I'm fucking delirious. So look, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed and we'll talk to you next time. Bye. I saw a video there the other week. Fucking funny. It was this American girl and you can just see she's in her like all American kitchen and she looks like she'd sell Avon kind of thing, you know, like she's
yeah, doll sells Avon.
An older lady and you could see she was straight off the QVC channel, that kind of thing, like she had this flask and it was like, this is hydrogenated water because our water doesn't actually have hydrogen in it, and that kind of, and there was just the stitch feature is revolutionary.
Yeah, it's
Stitch,
great.
Because it's so funny because that I was seeing this, but you see Stitch incoming on the top of it, and I was just like, what's going on? And it's just people taking the fucking piss out. We're just like, H2O. Are you just drinking straight up 2O?
Yeah, I was
like,
about to say, so you want J2O talk?
Two oxygens. That's what you're drinking. There's no heart. Like it was just so funny, but it was such a sell video, like sell. This is hydrogenated water, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she was like saying, oh, it helps with constipation. And then there was another girl, and she was just like, let's go back on the history of constipation. You get constipated because the water has been sucked out of the bell. So putting water into the bit will help with constipation. That kind of, like, it stops the constipation from happening. But that's what H2O does. Like, it was just, and I didn't even think of it. I was just so fucking used to scrolling through and saying, oh, this is that, and this is that, and that is actually that. And I would have been just like, yeah, okay. I wouldn't have even thought about the fucking H2O until, yeah, do you know what I mean, calling her out. I was just like, actually, this is fucking mental.
Yeah, you're like, why?
But it's scary how free people are to just post.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.